Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Throwback Thursday, My Favorite Things.
I'm Rob Schneider.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers and kittens.
Your wife has suggested
that we swap that out for a different version.
Sutton, we should change it. And then Sutton just yesterday, my wife was like, why would you ever think to change that, Kevin? That was such a stupid idea. She didn't say stupid, but she was like, and she implied stupid, actually. That's what I heard.
You heard stupid.
We've been married for 3 years, so that I hear lots of things.
That's what marriage can do.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? You are right. We should keep it. It's been 2.5 years. Why change it?
That's a beautiful sentiment. I'm so excited today because I am wearing cutoff denim shorts, which are a little bit new for me.
You definitely are dressing down today.
I am dressing down, and we have a guest after this, so I don't know why I've dressed down.
That's okay.
I should have looked a little nicer.
She's really fun.
She's chill. Should we tell them who it is, or should they guess? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Guessing is good.
Okay,
Her parents share her name.
That's true. Her parents share her name.
Different spelling,
but her parents share her name. Mm-hmm. Some might say she is the princess of comedy. Because her mother was the queen.
I like that, Rob.
Of comedy.
That was good. That was really good.
It's Lucy Arnaz.
Yes, we're talking to
Lucy Arnaz. We're very excited to be talking to Lucy Arnaz.
Yeah, we're going
to
chat with her.
And also very excited for our favorite things this week. You have your index card, so I see that you've written.
Don't look.
I'm going to try to do this mentally.
Oh, Rob.
Because I don't want to talk too much about my favorite thing, because I think I don't want to give too much of it away. I think you just need to go and watch it.
Oh, wow.
That's what I think.
All right, so full disclosure, listeners, before we even started recording, Rob was like, I'm very excited about my favorite thing today. Because he doesn't usually say that. I mean, we're always excited, but he's like, can't wait to share it. So I'm actually very, very excited because I don't know about you listeners, but I will listen to Rob talk about this and then I'll think, okay, yeah, I'm going to go check this out. And then maybe it'll be a month, maybe it'll be 2 months, maybe it's 6 months later. I'll finally get around to watching that B. Arthur TV special. And then I don't know about you, but I feel like I have to go back and listen to the podcast again and listen to Rob talk about it because it always is more amazing than I think it's going to be.
To get the nuances?
You always get me. You always get me. I always get you every day. Roberto.
I don't know what that voice is. That's new.
We went with it. I just yes-anded it the whole time.
I think it's great. I was in an improv class and I got flunked. Kept saying no but. No but. Which is ironically how a lot of my Tinder dates go.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Up next.
Wow.
At Odd Ha-Ha's.
You're welcome, everybody.
At Chuckles. At Chuckles Comedy Center.
Anything exciting going on in the Broadway news? Did you see anything?
Oh, well, Neil Simon passed.
Well, I mean, we've had a lot of,
Everyone, I'm so sad. Everyone is going, I mean, I'm sure we'll do a separate thing on Neil Simon at some point obituary thing. So I think he was a favorite thing at one point for us.
Yeah.
Very early on.
Right.
Because Neil Simon, Plaza Suite was the first play I ever directed.
Oh,
and I
fun
used
fact.
To love Neil Simon growing up, like watching The Odd Couple and The Sunshine Boys. So to me, he's a god.
Yeah.
So I was taken aback by that.
And we featured his musicals quite a bit on our.
We featured his musicals quite a bit on the show.
They're playing my song. I'm pretty sure that's been a favorite thing of yours.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I know Promises has been mine just recently. And
I think Little Me was one at some point for us.
Yeah, Little Me. Yeah. Sweet Charity goes without saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously.
No, I'm actually a little sad because I wanted. I really wanted to get him on the podcast. And when we first started the podcast, I emailed him.
Yeah.
And his wife responded and was just like, it's not the best time. Mm. And that was a couple of years ago. So hopefully he went without any suffering because he brought so much joy to so many people. And we'll talk about him when we get to our In Memoriam. Unfortunately, he's going to be in our In Memoriam this year. It makes me very sad.
But boy, what an output, though. What a legacy he left us.
A play or a screenplay for about 30 years in a row every year.
And not just one generation. It feels like he was in three different generations.
Absolutely.
Young people were like, he's still alive? I mean, it's just like he was like the Irving Berlin of play, right?
What a great way of putting it. What a great way of putting it.
Still, lasted for so many generations,
And he'll be with us, I think, way after we all leave this earth as well. So condolences to his wife and to his family, and we'll celebrate him at the end of the year. But go read a Neil Simon play, and go read one of his obscure ones. We all know The Odd Couple. We all know Barefoot in the Park. Go read one of his little neglected works.
Proposals. Why not?
Actually, you know what? Let's go back. Maybe not Proposals.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Maybe not Proposals.
We can all skip
Fools. Fools is not very
good.
But go read The Gingerbread Lady.
There you go.
That's a good one. It's a favorite of mine.
Didn't even know that
was a play, Rob. The Gingerbread Lady. Oh, it's fantastic.
Is it?
I like it.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm done.
I'm done.
That's it. I didn't get called back for Crutchy.
Wait, you guys, Rob, did you know that they're making a movie of Herb Villachez? And Rob sent me the trailer for it because Peter Dinklage is in it.
Peter Dinklage
is I thought it was an onion piece. I didn't think it was. Or I thought Rob had gone out of his way to make some crazy video for me. But true enough, he's coming back.
Peter Dinklage is starring in a movie about Herb Villachez.
It's crazy.
When we started this podcast, Kevin, you were like, who? Now there's that. I think HBO knows how popular our podcast is.
Now I'm trolled on Twitter by some of our followers about Herb.
The mouth. Why? That's him. It's like a French Harvey.
All I see when you do it is tongue. You're just like, bleh.
Like tongue? He's a tongue bar. Yeah. Oh, I got an email.
Oh my God.
I should put my phone on silent.
Oh, God.
I should put my phone on silent.
All right, we can talk about our favorite thing.
Okay.
Let's just do it. We've teased everyone and myself enough. Tell me, Rob.
This is going to be a hard one because
I
don't want
to pause and I'm going to watch it right now.
No. Okay. I want you to go home and watch it.
Okay.
And I think it's even best to watch it inebriated, I feel.
Well, sun's going away this weekend, so I'll have an evening free. And,
so it's only about 5 minutes of your life.
Oh.
But it's the best 5 minutes I think you'll ever spend. So you're going to all go to YouTube.
Oh.
Okay. You're going to just type in Liza Minnelli on HSN. That's one more time.
No, are you?
It's called Liza Minnelli.
No, you're not even going to talk about her selling stuff on
HSN. And the YouTube channel that has it that's the best is Rich Fofo. RichFofo. That's the first one. That's the channel you want to watch on it. Rich, RichFofo. So I'm going to be honest with you. I was not aware at all of this until Robbie Rizal had mentioned to me, he goes, have you ever seen...
Hi, Robbie.
Hello, Robbie. He's the RL Only listener. We should just have him here. We should just tell him what we're doing. No, that's not true. We have tons of listeners.
Thank
thousands of listeners. Millions of listeners! All beautiful.
Wow, you're in a mood today.
I'm a little tired.
I love it.
So anyway, in 2010, Liza Minnelli had just gotten out of knee surgery. She was in the hospital for a really long time. You remember there was a time where I
thought you were going to say marriage, but yeah.
I think that was also the time David Guest and all that stuff. And it was
that
a little, little heady time for Miss Minnelli.
Yeah.
So she, for whatever reason, created a line of clothing and jewelry and decided to hawk it on Home Shopping Network. Now, my feeling is this. I think, I'm going to be honest with you. I think being on Home Shopping must be one of the most difficult jobs in the world. Because sit about it. You're in this tiny little closet of a room that looks like a studio. And there's nobody there.
No audience,
and
no nothing.
And you have to be enthusiastic for 5 hours.
About one thing, like tread water.
For five.
I sometimes watch it for fun. I have before.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes it's so bad, it's good.
One of my friends who actually helped us set up our podcast equipment, he used to work there. And he said it was the most depressing thing. He goes, especially the 1 a.m. hours, where you're sitting there to 1 a.m. discussing, a
call
ceiling
now.
Fan.
First 20 callers gets for $5.99.
Sorry.
Bless you.
It's dusty in here. So Liza Minnelli creates this whole wardrobe, it's her Halston clothes.
Moomoos, right? Just caftan.
No, you know, her wraps and stuff.
Yeah. And sequins.
And jewelry. And they had her come on to hawk it for 5 hours. And it's her and this other woman. It is the most surreal thing you'll ever see in your life. Because she's sitting in an armchair. First of all, she looks like her mom. She literally looks like her mom in this. She's literally sitting on a chair. And she's just like, thank you, darling. Thank you. That's wonderful. And no matter what anyone who calls in is like, I love you. She goes, I love you. And somebody says, you're a mentor to me. And she goes, thank you, you're my mentor too. And you're like, she's never met this woman. And then she's like, Betty in Tallahassee, I'll never forget this call either. And so she's like, then they ask her, they're like, why did you decide to make clothing? She goes, I was in the hospital and my knee. She goes, I got a knee replacement. And all she's doing is talking about her knee replacement. And then they're like, how'd you get the jewelry? And she goes, clay. I molded clay. Just like. And then Robbie pointed this out, and I think it's a good point. She doesn't do it in the clip I'm going to show you, but you need to find it somewhere. She had encephalitis at some point.
That's not funny, but what is? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is, okay. But she just keeps saying she has
inflammation
encephalitis.
Of something.
It's an inflammation. I think it might be of the brain, but I could be totally wrong. Shoot. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
Why do you think I'm a doctor?
I don't know, because
you
look
something
smart.
Really funny,
yeah,
which
what?
Is so horrible. This
what?
Is horrible. I had a friend when I was in high school who every time I saw his mother, she would be like, hey, Rob, my knee hurts. What do you recommend for that? Or, hey, Rob, like, I'm having these really bad headaches. Like, what do you recommend for that? And I could never figure out, I'm like, why is she asking me this? And finally, I asked her friend, my friend, her son, and he goes, well, because you're Jewish, she thinks you're a doctor.
I'm like, is that?
I'm not joking.
Racist. Goes,
oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're
going to
be more specific.
Oh, Rob,
it.
He's Jewish. He knows.
Yeah, that was literally
meanwhile,
it.
All those, you're like aspirin, just like take some pain medication.
I said to him, I said, if she starts calling me about her taxes, we're going to have an issue. And lo and behold, next year she asked me what I could deduct.
Ba-dum-bum.
Not joking. There's no joke. This is actually, I'm recounting a story. So anyway, Liza Minnelli says the word encephalitis, and she says it about 100 times.
But her saying it has got
to
be.
But it goes from like a 4-syllable word to a 10-syllable. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Encephalitis.
Robbie does it, but he can hit each syllable kind of brilliantly. So anyway, I don't want to tell you anymore because it's just really marvelous and wonderful. You're going to go back and you're going to go look at Liza Minnelli on QVC. Is that what I said?
Oh,
QVC?
You said Home Shopping.
Oh, sorry. Liza Minnelli on HSN.
Okay.
This was from 2010.
Oh, gosh.
Once again, look for the channel that says Rich Fofo, RICHFOFO, because it's the best. It's the best 4 minutes and 48 seconds of your life.
And you can get all your I mean, I feel like that's where you go to get your impersonation, because she's basically a caricature of herself.
It's literally like somebody doing a Liza Minnelli caricature, which is, it's like a really...
It sounds like an SNL skit. They're like, yeah, we're going to do HSN, HSM, and we're going to have Liza come on and sell her stuff.
Yeah,
and
what?
That doesn't seem real. It seems like it's fake.
Oh, no. And she's there for a long time. And the best is there's this one moment where she's telling someone to like put something... There's a model there. And she goes, put this scarf over your shoulder. And the woman does it. She goes, no, the scarf. The woman like takes her over your shoulder. It's literally, it's the most, I don't know who the woman is that's like hosting the show that has Liza as a guest. This woman deserves every Emmy known to man. Luckily, Liza's much better. I don't know what was going on. She was just out of the hospital.
Right.
You're a little disoriented.
Pay some bills.
We've all been there.
Hello.
We've all done things to pay bills we're not proud of. Can I tell you that one time I was a clown at a gas station opening when in high school?
Rob, you're lying.
I swear to God, I got fired on the first day. I got fired on the first day. This is a true story, and then we'll move on to your favorite thing.
I was
a senior in high school.
Yep.
I was getting ready to go to college. I needed some money, and a woman that
you weren't working for the unit store anymore.
No, well, no, that provided some nice income, but then during the summer months, we didn't really get a lot of people because the units were hot.
Yeah.
So my friend and I, his name was Christy Amato. He looked just like Divine. He looked like John Waters Divine. He was my best friend in high school. And a woman comes up to us and she goes, oh, I know you guys are looking to make some money. She goes, this gas station is opening up on Moore Park Road. And she said, if you guys are interested, they want people to dress like clowns and stand on the corner and like,
this is crazy.
And wave signs. And we did it and we were assholes. And like, eventually, like, we started writing like offensive things and clown makeup on our face. And we kept making rude gestures of where exactly you could go to get your car washed. We got fired, I think, within 3 hours. We had the job for 3 hours.
Oh, Rob.
My friend Chris and I had jobs not for very long.
You're no clown.
They once gave us a public access show.
What?
We were in high school.
You are killing me today,
and our high school created its own network to air on local television.
Wow.
They're like, we need programming. And they're like, well, let's ask Rob and Chris. That was my friend, because they're in drama club. And we created... The choir had just created this handbell choir.
I played handbells. I loved handbells. I played with all old ladies.
Oh, then maybe you won't like
No, it's okay. I just take my handbell playing very seriously.
Well, the choir was very serious about handbells. And it took like 20, you had to put the gloves in 20 minutes to like put the bells in. I was like, this is the most fucking ridiculous thing ever. A 20-minute pilot about how stupid handbell choir was, where we interviewed people about handbell. Like all the
documentary in a way.
And every time they were like, every time that we asked them a question.
You interviewed me.
It would be a serious question. So we would be like, so Kevin, what's your favorite composer to play on a handbell?
Weber.
Ring my bell. And then we would like dance around the person. That never went to series.
That got pulled, huh?
That got pulled.
Wow.
But look for it.
Think you drama nerds were trolling and making fun of the handbell nerds, Rob. I mean, really. How dare you do that to us? How dare you? I tell you, sir.
I'm sorry.
Well.
God has punished me. I'm wearing denim shorts and sweating through my shirt.
His denim shorts do look nice, everybody.
Thank you.
And no, we aren't drunk. It is 10:38 in the morning, just because this feels like a really raucous episode, and I love it.
I was up early for Lucy.
I love it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You're finished, right? Yeah. Are you good? You done?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yep.
Mine's a little it's a little outside of the musical theater realm, but I think it is connected in many ways, and we also share a lot of the same audience with this other genre. I was in California a week and a half ago, and I love flying long distances because I get to watch movies that I normally really wouldn't watch, and I watched this documentary from 2016. It's called Score: a film music documentary, and it is a full-on documentary about the creating score for movies.
How cool!
It's incredible. This man named Matt Schrader, he was an investigative journalist his whole life, and for CBS and NBC News, and then he just decided he won 3 Emmys doing stuff, and he was very successful, and for whatever reason, he decided to stop that and go into making films and pictures. And so he cashed in some of his savings, and he had a Kickstarter, and he made this amazing film. And it's not like he talked to like John Williams and that was it. He was going to just do 3 composers, and then he realized that the musical spectrum of movies is so vast and so open nowadays. And it's not just an orchestra; it's weird sounds, and it's ever changing. And he really goes; he catalogs the history of film scoring from the very early on to, the orchestra sounds of the 60s and 70s that we heard so much, where it was like full-on symphonies almost, to like Trent Reznor, who was of Nine Inch Nails, who writes movie music now, and his has very sort of weird, funky sounds that he adds to it, and how all of that's evolving. But he talks to all of the greatest living composers of our day. I mean, Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman, John Williams, Quincy Jones, all of the Newmans, Thomas, Randy, who come from a whole legacy of film scores. Their dad, Alfred Newman, practically invented film scoring, right?
Yeah.
So, like, or their family, one's the dad, one's the uncle. But it's that legacy is incredible. Not only that, but he interviews directors, but not like B-list. I mean, we're talking, he interviews James Cameron, Gary Marshall, and Steven Spielberg about the process of what they look for when they're talking to their composers, and how the composers tell the story of the movie subconsciously, and how the music, without that music, you would be missing a whole...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and another composer, the only female they talked to about was a woman named Rachel Portman, who won an Academy Award for Chocolat, and incidentally wrote a musical called Little House on the Prairie that I worked on about 5 years ago. The musical, starring Melissa Gilbert. That's another podcast. Also, if you're interested to see this incredible doc, I mean, it's a good over two hours, and you will walk away appreciating movie music in a whole new light. And I guess I'm bringing this on our podcast because I think that music functions oftentimes the very similar way. I learned a lot about the production of music, even though I'm a musician, I went to school for music and all of that. I feel like watching them talking about their process of telling the story through music is very similar to what we do. And just like they're a whole group of fans, hi listeners, who love musical theater, cast album collecting, all of that, there's a whole network of soundtrack people who love collecting soundtracks.
My brother is one of them.
Oh, really? Yeah. And who know, some random movie from the late 80s, they'll know exactly who wrote the score and all of that, and they'll know the songs from it. So, I am not a big fan in that regard. However, I do appreciate music. And this documentary, again called Score, a film music documentary, really opened my eyes to the job, to the job of a music scorer. And you get to see them go through the process. You see how, Hans Zimmer famously doesn't really read or write music. I mean, he writes music, but he doesn't, handwrite music, but he does it all on the computer. You see him do his process. You get to watch him. You watch Rachel sit down because she's famous for her piano scores. She's more piano based, and you watch her work with the movie running and her trying to match the piano exactly what she wants to do with the movie. It's just incredible. I had no idea that so much work went into creating a film score. You can go to their website is score-movie.com. You can buy it there for $20 or $25 to buy a Blu-ray, or you can go on iTunes. It's $12.99. to buy or $3.99 to rent. Matt also has a podcast. Much like we do, he interviews each episode. He interviews one of the film scorers or directors and talks about their process.
Amazing.
In each podcast. And that's called Score: The Podcast. And you can check out Matt's Score. I don't know him. I've never talked to him before, but I just think it's cool that he's doing something in a different vein of what we sort of do as well. And also kudos to him for, cashing in his savings and changing careers and going after something like this and shedding light on a subject that we don't always get to talk about. It's something that is not tangible. We hear it,
no,
but we don't actually see the process of what we know how people make a movie. We get all that, but score writing, that's magical. And you can learn a little something more by checking out this movie.
Yeah, and I think a lot of college programs now are implementing, you can get your major in film composition,
is
awesome.
Yeah.
What a cool documentary. I've never seen that. I'm going to go home and watch it tonight.
I know. I was surprised it didn't have a wider release.
Okay.
But it really, and especially those in our business or those who appreciate fans, lovers, people who study it, it really does open your eyes. Even in our musical theater realm, it will shed new light on storytelling through song.
And it's amazing.
Great. Especially for film lovers, too.
Great. So then I'm going to watch Score, and you're going to watch...
I'm going to watch Lies on the Home Shopping Network.
And don't forget to buy that Halston top that
she's
peddling to everybody.
It's just great. Just great. So comfortable.
It's going to be shiny.
I just got a little shimmy here. Is that right, Papa? That's right.
Once again, Kevin does amazing impressions and acts like he doesn't. I can't stand it. All right, till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical, Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.